We turn our attention to Leviticus chapter 13 today, but since we're about to talk about leprosy, I think we need to get a little New Testament background under our belts to prepare for what I think is the clear understanding that leprosy is the representation of a sin issue that needs to be dealt with by the community. I do not believe that leprosy is an actual disease. I most definitely do not believe it is Hansen's disease. I think that is a misunderstanding that came up during the Middle Ages and has continued to be promoted, unfortunately, in Christian circles. Hansen's disease is a problem which results in appendages being damaged and often, becoming dead and therefore falling off and things like that. That is not what we're going to be talking about when we talk about leprosy. It's actually a mark that is put on not just people, but also places and things in Canaan that needed to be specially evaluated for whether they could be used or whether they needed to be gotten rid of by the Jewish community. And so the things that we're about to see in Leviticus, starting at chapter 13, are to be better paralleled with church discipline, which I think the best place to go for the church discipline aspect is Matthew chapter number 18, starting at verse 15, because this is Jesus that's doing the teaching here. The topic is sin. Sin is going to always come into the picture, but woe, Jesus says, to those that bring it into the picture. But then he gives this specific information, Matthew 18, 15. If your brother sins against you, and not all the texts have against you there, it may be more generic than specific. So I'm going to read it that way. If your brother sins, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So step number one, you see sin in another believer's life. What are you supposed to do about it? You go and talk privately with that person about the problem. Ideally, you're going to go there with the scripture and share with them what you're seeing and how it violates Christian principles. Now, what's the possible outcome of that? There's only two. If he listens to you, Jesus goes on to say, you have gained your brother. So you go, you tell him what the problem is. He goes, oh no, I didn't realize it. Or, oh, you're right, I should not have done that. I repent. And I'm going to now fix the problem. I'm going to talk to the Lord about it and move forward. So if you do that, then great. The problem has been resolved. Verse 16, though, what's the other possible outcome? If he does not listen, then take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So if he blows you off, then you wait for a bit, you go get reinforcements, you go back to him in private again and have another chat. Bump it up a notch. Say, this is really serious. We've got more people here that want to talk to you about this issue. We don't want to see you in trouble with God. We don't want to see you involved in this sin. You need to fix the problem. So you've warned them once. Now you've warned them twice. Well, same two possible outcomes again. They might listen, in which case, great, you've fixed the problem. But what if they don't? Verse number 17. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, meaning the assembly of the saints. We're not talking about Sunday morning worship or even Wednesday night activities or anything like that. We're talking about a private gathering of the official members of that congregation, part of that family. You basically have a family intervention meeting. And you talk about the problem that's happening in the family and how it's already been dealt with once privately, twice privately, and now it needs to really be dealt with. And then, of course, only two possibilities are there. If he listens and fixes the problem, great. It took a little while, but now it's fixed. But what if he doesn't listen? Verse 17, Jesus continues, if he refuses to listen even to the church, that is to the assembly of the saints to which he belongs, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, meaning he is shunned. He has his rights and privileges as a member of the body of Christ revoked. He is no longer considered to be a Christian brother. Or a sister, if we're talking about a different gender. And this shows how serious it is. You get warned once, you get warned twice, three strikes and you're out of there. Because it's serious to be involved in sin when you are a Christian. And verse 18, Jesus says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And that's the phraseology here, is basically the church needs to follow the standard of heaven. If it's sinful by God's standard, then it's sinful by the church's standard. If there is forgiveness by heaven's standard, by God's standard, then there is forgiveness by the church's or the earth's standard. That's the way it works. And then verse 19, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it'll be done to them or for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. So basically, Jesus says, this is serious stuff. It has heavenly ramifications. If you guys see these issues and you try to take care of them and the person refuses, then they can be booted out of the church, out of the body of Christ, and that will be binding. That's very serious stuff. Now, what has this got to do with leprosy? That is exactly the pattern we will see in the leprosy passages we're about to read. Check once, check twice, third time, out of there. Because I believe what we're seeing in leprosy is a mark of God put on a person, place, or thing that needs to be evaluated. But it needs to also be distinguished from other things that might look similar. Because, again, using our New Testament concept here, you might go to somebody to talk to them about a sin and find out that what you thought you saw didn't really happen. Or what you heard wasn't really accurate. So it wasn't really a sin, and so you're the one that needs to be set straight. And so that's the thing that we're going to see with the leprosy, is that there's some things that might, at just first glance, look like a mark from God. But as you investigate it, you find out, oh, no, it's something else totally. So, chapter 13 now of Leviticus. With that background, let's dive in. He who is spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot. And one of the things about leprosy, the Hebrew word for leprosy is somehow related to the Hebrew word for hornet. And if you've ever been stung by a hornet, or we can even think about bees, when they stick that stinger in there and pump their venom in, it makes this bump, this swelling, and it has this white look to it. Well, leprosy is going to have some of those same elements that are attached to it. There might be a swelling. There is definitely something different about the color of the skin. In fact, it's a loss of color that seems to be most represented in leprosy. So suppose you've got all these sorts of things that show up, and then upon examination, it turns into a case of leprous disease. And I object to that reading from the English Standard Version. The moment they put disease in there, I don't like it. Leprous. This is a case of leprosy. On the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall examine the diseased area or the affected area on the skin of his body. So it's supposed to be brought to experts in evaluating these sorts of things to see whether or not it is actually a mark from God. So let's read about some of the things you're going to be looking at. If the hair in the affected area has turned white and the affection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprosy. So if the skin color is totally gone in the affected area, and even the hairs are being affected, where they're losing their color, that's probably a mark from God, is what the priest would decide. And when the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. So he's now off limits to regular societal interaction. But if the spot is white on the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, so it's just a surface sort of thing, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person or the affected person for 7 days. So here's the evaluation time. You wait for a week to see whether or not anything changes. Verse 5, the priest shall examine him on the 7th day, and if in his eyes the affection or infection is checked, meaning it's stopped, and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. So check it once, check it twice. Verse 6, and the priest shall examine him on the 7th day thereafter, and if the affected area has faded, so it's reversing, and the affection has not spread in his skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption. So it's only just some sort of skin problem, maybe eczema, something like that. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So he got checked once, got checked twice. Third check, it's going backwards. All he has to do is go through a cleansing ceremony and he's back into society again, because it's not a mark from God. That's what we just read. Verse number 7. But if the eruption spreads in the skin after he's shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear for him again before the priest. And the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When a man is afflicted with leprosy, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look, and if there is white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is this ongoing leprosy in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him out, for he is unclean. If the leprosy breaks out in the skin so that the leprosy covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of this leprosy. It is all turned white. He is clean. So there is an issue where if it is spreading and it spreads all over the place, there is something totally different going on because it's going everywhere. And so it once it reaches its maximum, then it's apparently some sort of affliction of the melanin, that is the material that's inside of all of our skin that makes us have this brownish tint. Sometimes it's light brown all the way up to dark brown, almost black. That melanin can go bad, and it spreads this white color all over the skin. And if that's the case, that's not leprosy from God. It's a genetic issue. It's a problem that's just going to be there. And so that's going to be declared clean once it's been checked. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. The priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is leprosy. But if the raw flesh recovers and turns white again, then he shall come to the priest. The priest shall examine him. If the mark has turned white, the priest shall pronounce the diseased or the afflicted man or person clean. He is clean. If there is in the skin of one's body a boil and it heals, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a reddish white spot, then it shall be shown to the priest, and the priest shall look, and if it appears deeper than the skin and its hair has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprosy that is broken out in the boil. Now, if you've got certain skin afflictions, when they start healing up, they do have a whiteness to them. And so the priest would need to evaluate, is this just the healing process that's going on here, or is there another different mark going on that just happens to be closely associated with this skin problem? Verse 21, if the priest examines it and there's no white hair in it, and it's no deeper than the skin, it's faded, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. If it spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. But if the spot remains in one place and doesn't spread, if it's in the scar of the boil, and the priest shall then pronounce him clean. Or when the body has a burn on its skin and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a spot, reddish white or white, the priest shall examine it. If the hair on the spot has turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, then it is leprosy. It's broken out in the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprosy. But if the priest examines it, and there's no white hair in the spot, and it's deeper than the skin, but it's faded, the priest shall shut him up 7 days. You see how we keep having this evaluation to see whether or not it's going to heal and resolve itself over a period of time. That's just like what we were reading in Matthew a little while ago. When sin comes into a person's life, we evaluate it over a period of time to see whether or not it gets resolved. If it does, no action needs to be taken. If it doesn't go away, it has to be dealt with as an ongoing problem. So that's what leprosy is representing here. It is a mark placed by God on a person, place, or thing that needs to be evaluated, and if it doesn't go away, action needs to be taken. Verse 27, the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. If it is spreading in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprosy. If the spot remains in one place and doesn't spread to the skin, but it's faded, it is swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of the burn. When a man or woman has a disease or a mark on the head or the beard, the priest shall examine the disease or the mark. We're talking probably here about pimples and things up on the scalp. And if it appears deeper than the skin and the hair in it is yellow and thin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's an itch, a leprous or a leprosy disease of the head or the beard, or a mark of the head or the beard. So maybe he's got psoriasis or something like that. That's what's being presented here. That's not the same as leprosy. If the priest examines the itching disease and it appears no deeper than the skin and there's no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the disease. If the itch has not spread and there is no yellow hair, and there is in it no yellow hair, and the itch appears to be no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but the itch he shall not shave, and the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for another 7 days. So there's a lot of things that might happen on your scalp, or even in your beard where your hair is, that might need to be evaluated over time, but you find out it's not a mark from God, it's just some other problem that's having to be dealt with. So time will tell on those things. Verse 34, on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the itch, and if the itch is not spread in the skin, and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. So he's now back into society because he's been evaluated and everything's okay, other than he's got some sort of skin issue. If the itch spreads in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him. And if the itch is spread in the skin, the priest need not seek for the yellow hair. He is unclean. If in his eyes, the itch is unchanged, the black hair has grown in it, the itch is healed and he's clean, the priest shall pronounce him clean. When a man or woman has spots on the skin of the body, white spots, the priest shall look, and if the spots of the skin of the body are a dull white, it is leukodermia that has broken out on the skin, he is clean. So again, we might have all sorts of skin conditions that might at first be thought perhaps be a mark from God, but upon evaluation, that's not the case. If a man's hair falls out from his head, he's bald, he's clean. So that's not leprosy, that's just baldness. If a man's hair falls out from his forehead, he has baldness of the forehead, he's clean. If there is on the bald head or on the bald forehead a reddish-white area, it is a leprosy that's breaking out on his bald head or on his bald forehead, then the priest shall examine him. If the leprous swelling is reddish-white on his bald head or his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprosy in the skin of the body, he's a leprous man, he's unclean, the priest must pronounce him unclean, his disease is on his head. The leprous man or person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. So now we get to the expectation of how a person who has been declared to have leprosy is supposed to present themselves so that the rest of society understands that they are in a situation that's being continually evaluated by God as something that needs to be fixed. And the only thing that's going to fix it is whatever brought the mark in the first place. And we don't know what that is. Only God knows. Only God in that person knows what's bringing that on. So what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to have torn clothes because that's a symbol of mourning. He's supposed to let his hair hang loose because that's also a symbol of mourning. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And basically, just think about cupping your hands over your lip, and you're basically making a little hand megaphone. So you're strengthening your shout to let people know as they're coming near you, unclean, unclean, meaning stay away, I'm on restriction. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the mark. He is unclean, he shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, when it says he shall live alone, it means he can't be around people that don't have leprosy. Now, we do have examples of lepers hanging out together, but they are supposed to be outside the camp. Now, when we're talking here in Leviticus, initially we're talking about the Israeli encampment. So anybody that was declared to be a leper had to go outside the boundaries of the camp. And they remained in their own encampment out there until God fixed the problem, which means that something must have had to change in their life. And only after being reevaluated, which we will get to eventually, could they be brought back into society. And Jesus, of course, cleanses quite a few lepers, taking away the mark from them in association with their repentance from sin. Because remember, Jesus was going around preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he had a ministry of calling people to repentance. And when they did, and they had the mark of leprosy, Jesus could remove it, and those people could be evaluated by the priests and come back into society. All right, so he shall remain unclean as long as he has this mark. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. When there is a case of leprosy in a garment, whether woolen or linen, in the warp or the woof of linen and wool, or in the skin, or in anything made of skin, if the disease or the mark is greenish or reddish on the garment, or in the skin, in the warp or the woof, or any article made of skin, it is in the case of leprosy, it shall be shown to the priest. Now, this is where I again reinforce this idea that we're talking about God putting marks on people, places, and things that need to be evaluated and possibly dealt with in a severe fashion. We've already talked about the people. Now we're going to talk about the things. Remember that the Israelis are going to be going into the promised land that is currently occupied by sinful people. And so God is going to mark the things and places that should be evaluated as to whether or not the Israelis can use them after they've been used by these sinful people, because they might have some sort of physical or spiritual contamination to them. So this is God's way of helping the Israelis prepare for their time coming into the promised land to sort out all the equipment, all the buildings, all the materials, the clothing that they will see left behind by the Canaanites. And so this mark is going to be different depending on what the item is. And then also what the item is made of is going to be tied into what the Israelis have to do with the object. Well, we're out of time, so we'll pick up right here tomorrow.